I'm Tom Rowe from Wavefarms WGXC in upstate New York, and this is our second part of our interview with Stephen Vitiello. He provided us with sound files, and he's discussing various work.
All right, and the room into my buzzing head.
In the Room Into My Buzzing Head was a it was an installation that I did in Austin, Texas, which there's a space called Test Site that does site-specific art projects in this collector's home. And just as I was trying to think of what to do for that project, I was reading about Aeolian harps, which are these beautiful instruments that are played by the wind. And this fellow from a gallery in Austin said, "Hey, my father built an Aeolian harp 25 years ago. Would you like to use it in the show?" So it became the kind of centerpiece, both live and pre-recorded. But that's it's basically a drone piece, but as the wind picks up, different strings resonate. And you also hear kind of the sound through the window of the kind of crazy birds in Austin. And I think there's a little bit of very quiet electronics going on as well.
Wind is kind of a difficult sound to capture.
It is. Wind can be the most challenging either to keep away or to capture. And there's a beautiful Chris Watson radio piece that he did on recording wind and actually getting that high whistling sound. And I've never quite gotten it. I've almost gotten it, but that I've still gotten it with Rumble. But I like the idea of an Aeolian harp as something that is played by the wind. I did another commission for someone once using my guitar as an Aeolian harp, and it just, you know, just allowing the wind to sort of create the sense of the shape and the dynamics and the intensity and the rhythms, because when it works, it's really nice.
Sound check with James Fay. Thank you.
sound check with James Faye is an old one, but I did a concert with James at Mills College in Oakland, and James is a fantastic modular synth player, and I brought my synth and asked him if we could do a duet, and using low-frequency oscillators to create a lot of the rhythms. And I heard him whisper to somebody, I think we're doing a David Tudor cover, which I think I wasn't supposed to hear, which probably meant I should have had a smarter idea. But I think it came out really nicely. And I sort of am aware, I guess, of the people that I reference or I've learned from. And David Tudor's, you know, certainly one of the great ones, as is Alvin Lucier. And it's hard for me to do something that doesn't have a hint of one of them in there.
All right, something like Firework.
Thank you.
Something Like Fireworks was an installation I did at Wellesley College of the Davis Museum. It was a collaboration with a lighting designer who sadly was killed last year, but it was field recordings I had done over a year, but whereas usually I leave the field recordings quite clean, in this case they were heavily, heavily manipulated. And I'd read a quote about synesthesia and that from a scientist who said that synesthesia was sort of something like fireworks was within the phrase, where he was describing how people have these crossing of senses that they might hear a sound and it instantly allows them to see a color in their head. So I did this piece in which it's about 16 minutes long, and there's moments of recognizable sounds, but mostly electronics mixed with about 150 lighting cues. And a kind of interesting thing that came from that was, from what I've read, people who are synesthetic, there's no one, that not everybody who is synesthetic hears a B flat and sees a dark green. But I got some very nice letters and emails when I did that show, and I got one angry email from someone who said that they were synesthetic and I got all the colors wrong, which I thought was kind of great. Like, I wished I could go back and redo the piece with them to see what colors they would hear as they were hearing my sounds.
Stephen Michael Junto Project.
Thank you.
That was another of the Junto or Junto pieces for Disquiet's weekly challenge. And it was also a collaboration with my friend Steve Roden. And Michael Raphael, who's a radio producer and also common friend of Steve and I, had posted some recordings of wind that I think were from Hurricane Sandy, if I'm not wrong. And so Steve doesn't really generally do the Junto projects, but I convinced him, because it was Michael, that we would use some of Michael's wind and collaborate on a piece. And so we did it in a day, and we're both happy with how it came out.
And then the last piece is Sakamoto Vitello Dupree final.
was, what's that called? That piece is actually called Wind in the Trees, but there's no wind, but that seems to be the theme of the day. But it's a collaboration with Taylor Dupree and Ryuichi Sakamoto. It was done for Kizuna World, which was, and maybe I think it still is, a website that Sakamoto co-organized to raise funds for victims of the disasters that happened in Japan. It was a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And he asked Taylor for something. Taylor sent him this recording that Taylor and I had done. And Sakamoto wrote back and said, "Do you mind very much if I play piano on it?" You know, and I think we were both jumping up and down with joy, saying, "No, that sounds fine." So he added some piano to it.
All right. One final question. Another question that we ask regularly is if you have a early radio memory.
Boy, that's interesting. I mean, this seems really silly, but maybe because you have a child, I have a child, this makes sense. But I remember radio fears, because I remember in my mother's house, coming down the stairs at night and hearing voices and just like running back up the stairs that there was someone down there and not realizing that it was a radio. But it somehow became this kind of haunted image for me in this presence of something else that was speaking in the kitchen. No. Beyond that,
sounds like the Bill Cosby, yeah. You know, the Bill Cosby record Chicken Heart. He sets the couch on fire and smears Jell-O all over the floor because the radio story is scary and he doesn't want the bad guys to come in, and his parents come home to that scene, and his father just tells him, "You just turn it off."
Yeah, exactly.
You just needed to turn that radio off that downstairs.
"Come in the house, the chicken heart's going to eat you up, hurry up, okay. Zip, what chicken heart are you talking about? The one on the radio. You're an idiot, turn it off."
Yeah, but see, it was in the dark, and it just seemed bigger than life.
Want to tell anybody? Do you have any shows coming up?
I think there's lots of maybes. I'm going to do a show here in Richmond at a commercial gallery called Reynolds Gallery. Also collaborations with Taylor based on a residency at the Rauschenberg Foundation. And towards the end of the year, I should have a CD with Taylor and another CD with Molly, and both on 12K. I'm looking forward to those.
When do they have titles yet, or...?
No, someone sent on SoundCloud, somebody posted this insane comment about that piece, that 12-minute rehearsal, but it was so weird that for a moment I thought it should be a title, but I think it's too ridiculous. But she wrote, "I've fallen face first into a machine that erases the memories of an ended relationship if it were a sound instead of a real life that fell in love with the girl." And Molly had actually... I mean, this woman had no idea, but that recording was weeks after Molly's marriage didn't happen, and somehow it really did describe life, but I think that's too long for the record shelves.
Or a CD spine, I guess.
Yeah, a CD spine or an MP3 or anything. But so I'm titles will have to come soon, but just the 12K label is the one that I work with most consistently, and happy to have their support.
All right. So we'll be listening for those from the 12K label at the end of the year.
Yep, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.